Sometimes I feel like I don't have a partner. Sometimes I feel like my only friend is the city I live in. It's beautiful Brooklyn. Long as I live here, believe I'm gonna fly. Hey.
Know where you're going, but don't know how to get there? You found the rabbit hole, Alice. From free bars, apartment hunting, and sending out your demo, he's here to make sure you don't break the bank. Welcome to the Starving Artist Podcast with your host, Johnny Sanford.
Welcome to the 10th Starving Artist Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Sanford. Out here doing it from downtown Brooklyn. Let's see, we got a great show today. First time in 2 or 3 weeks that I've done a podcast, so I apologize. I've been on a little hiatus. Went upstate, hung out with my folks, had good food, good wine, good beers. And now I'm back. Back in New York City, trying to live the dream. Had a couple of interesting things happen to me over the break. Try to keep the blog going. If you've noticed, I've done not so much art related, but, you know, human interest stories. One of the cool things I found was when I was upstate, I went to the Book Barn, one of my favorite stores. In Loudonville, near Albany, and I got a bunch of books on science. Most notably, right now I'm reading Carl Sagan's Cosmos, and I'm planning to watch the 13-part series sometime soon, as soon as it's done downloading. Got into a lot of good music from one of my friends, BCK. He showed me some bands I'll be playing today. Some you might know, some you might not. Let's see, I've been doing a couple of reviews of artists, and I plan on doing a lot more local New York City based artists starting the next podcast. I think it's going to be exclusive new music that you've probably never heard, so stick around for that. It should be very interesting. I'm going to make sure that it's only the best new songs, best new artists that are making it on this show, to do interviews, to listen to their music, to hear their story. Today, our podcast is going to be out about writing and the art of writing. As a writer myself, I'm going to try to narrow down what it is you have to do to get some interest, to get some buzz around what you're writing. And I started this podcast. Now one of my friends recently gave me a website that has really pretty much distilled all the things I'm trying to do. If you want to do something that I'm doing right now, trying to be successful as a blog writer, I strongly recommend reading this. It's free. It's called 279 Days to Overnight Success by Chris Gillibeau. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but it's an unconventional journey to full-time writing. How he became a full-time writer in 279 days. How to make some money off your personal website. Etc., etc. Now you can get this at chrisgillibeau.com. It's Chris, Chris, Gillibeau.com. Gillibeau. I'll link that up on my website as well, because it's been very interesting. It's a very cool story about this guy who kind of made success for himself doing the blogging thing. I'd like to thank Chris Brablick for giving me that out recently. So he's probably listening to this, hopefully. Just a shout out to you. Thanks, buddy. So, while I was home, like I said, my friend BZK, we went and played some tennis, and he showed me some new music, and I'm going to play some in a couple minutes. I'm going to surprise you with this, because it's a mashup that one of his friends did, and it's kind of become an overnight success. It's been featured on a lot of different websites, a lot of buzz going on, and he said that he had this kid in one of his classes for deep listening, and this kid is a DJ, so he did a little mashup. And why not? I'll just get to that straight away. This is called 99 Anthems, and it's by Jadeohead. You can download the full album. There's like 11 tracks or something. It's Jay-Z mashed up with Radiohead, obviously, and it pretty much rocks my socks off. So check it out, 99 Anthems, only on the Starving Artist's Guide.
If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99, the bitch ain't one. I got the rat patrol on the cat patrol. Foes that want to make sure my cask is closed. Rap critics to say he's money cash hoes. I'm from the hood, stupid, what type of facts are those? If you grew up with hoes in your Zappa toes, you celebrate the minute you was having dope. I'm like, fuck critics, you can kiss my whole asshole. If you don't like my lyrics, you can press fast forward. Got beef with radio if I don't play they show. They don't play my hits. I don't give a shit, so rap mags try and use my black ass so advertisers can give them more cash for ads, fuckers. I don't know what you take me as or understand the intelligence that Jay-Z has. I'm from rags to riches, niggas, I ain't dumb. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. Hit me. 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. If you have a girl problem, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. Hit me. Year's 94 and my trunk is raw. And my rear view mirror is the motherfucking law. Got two choices, y'all. Pull over the car or bounce on the devil, put the pedal to the floor. And I ain't trying to see no highway chase with Jake. Plus, I got a few dollars, I could fight the case. So I pull over to the side of the road, I heard. Son, do you know I'm stopping you for? Cause I'm young and I'm black and my hat's real low. Do I look like a mind reader, sir? I don't know. Am I under arrest or should I guess some up? Well, you was doing 55 and the 54. Lost in the registration, and step out of the car. You carrying a weapon on you, I know a lot of you are. I ain't stepping out of shit, all my papers legit. Well, do you mind if I look around the car a little bit? Well, my glove compartment is locked, so it's the trunk in the back. And I know my rights, so you gon' need a warrant for that. Aren't you sharp as a tack? Top of law or something, somebody important or something. I ain't passed the bar, but I know a little bit enough that you wanna legally search my shit. But we'll see how smart you are when the K9 comes. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. Hit me. 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. Hit me. 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99, but a bitch ain't one. Hit me. Now, once upon a time, not too long ago, a nigga like myself had a strong arm, a hoe. And this is not a hoe in the sense of having a pussy, but a pussy having a goddamn sense, trying to push me. I try to ignore him, talk to the Lord, pray for him, but some fools just love to perform. You know the type, loud as a motorbike, but wouldn't bust a grape in a fruit fight. And only thing that's gonna happen is I'ma get the clapping, and he and his boys gonna be yapping to the captain. And there I go trapped in a Kit Kat again. Back through the system with the riffraff again. Fiends on the floor, scratching again. Paparazzi's with their cameras, snapping them. DA try to give a nigga shaft again. Half a mil for bail cause I'm African. Or because the fool was harassing them. Trying to play the boy like he's saccharine. But ain't none sweet but I hold my gun. I got 99 problems being a bitch ain't one. Hit me. 99 problems but a bitch ain't one. If you having girl problems I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems but a bitch ain't one. Hit me. 99 problems problems, but a bitch ain't one. If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. Hit me.
All right, that is JDO Head, 99 Anthems. Pretty great song. Now, you can get that full album free of charge from JDOhead.com. And there's a lot of other cool mixes there. Dirt Off Your Android is one of them. And there's a couple more. Fallen Step, Ignorant Swan. It's all pretty cool. So check it out, jdohead.com. Now, getting into writing, this whole idea for this podcast and this blog and what have you is actually like a kind of a byproduct, actually, of the book idea that I had last year for the Starving Artist Guide. I pictured it as kind of like you could do it anywhere. You could kind of like use the basic same tips and kind of find all the cheap eats, free shows, free stuff in LA, Chicago, anywhere that artists kind of conglomerate, where they go to. So it was a book idea, and before I started this in January, I spent a lot of time waiting for some query letters to come back, and I did get a lot of rejection, which you gotta be ready for, but I also got a few that were like kind of interested, and that's what you're looking for. My old writing teacher, professor at the college I went to, Siena, told me that he used to send out 100 proposals or query letters, and if he got one back, he was happy. So that's kind of like the mindset you have to go into it, because so many people have so many different needs, what they're looking for. Most lit agents probably don't sign more than 100 new writers a year. They have to make sure all their authors are happy, taken care of. They don't want to have too huge of a list of people that they have to be trying to get deals. So they really don't get new authors as much as you'd think. And also, I mean, a lot of publishers, you know, they'll put out like 5 or 10, and these are moderately sized publishers, will put 5 or 10 books out in any given year. So you're fighting against a lot of other authors that are just as good as you. You just have to get that tenacity. And my writing professor said that he would get something back in the mail. He would just take a big sticker. You know, these are the rejected ones. He would just take a sticker, put it over the return to sender address that they had put it on, and he would send it right to a new literary agent. And he actually did get some books published. Now, I did not get this book published, and I can understand why, although I did get response, which is very important. You gotta get the response. I mean, if they shut you out before you even give them a page, then you're never going to sell anything. You might as well just go to the vanity presses on online. You can print your own books out. What's a good one? I'm trying to think. Now, the biggest and most affordable one is Lulu.com, and they can print out your book. They'll show you exactly how much it costs to publish your book, and they'll make it to order. So Lulu.com if you want to do that. And that's a perfectly reasonable option. I mean, if you don't want to go through the whole publisher deal, and Lulu gets stuff on Amazon, it gets it on a bunch of stuff. So a lot of the stuff, like I said, it is just doing it yourself. And that's how I got here. That's how this podcast was born, because I thought to myself, am I going to wait here for 6 months waiting for a literary agent to get back to me, or am I actually going to get out there and do it myself? And instead of just publishing it because it's not done, I figured, you know, why not take it into a different realm than just a book? And I hope that it will eventually become a book. I'm still working on it. But for right now, I'm here, and so I'm going to read out the query letter that actually did get a few positive responses. And before you do it, you're going to want to get the Publishers Market 2009, and you can go down to your local Barnes & Noble or whatever, half.com, probably get some there, and look through and see which literary agents are looking for the kind of book that you want. So I looked for lit agents that were, like, you know, interested in repping travel, art, music, culture, nonfiction. Essentially, 75% of all books that are published are nonfiction. So if you got a nonfiction book, you got, you know, that much better of a chance of getting it actually published. So this is what I wrote out. It's a standardized book submission query letter. And check this out. And then after this, I'm going to show you guys, I'm going to read out one of the first query letter I wrote for a fiction book that I wrote in college. So, and it's a horrible, horrible query letter. And I'm going to cringe reading it, because I'd never even taken a writing class when I wrote this book. But I just had to do it. So anyways, the first one, the good one, that got responses, and then the bad one that got no responses. Or just negative responses. So here it is, the good one. Dear Jason, I am a 24-year-old freelance writer living and breathing in New York City. I work a part-time job in Manhattan while working a nonfiction work tentatively titled The Starving Artist's Guide to New York City. The main purpose of the project is to help young artists that are new to the city learn to live on a very small budget while helping them find their creative path in the urban jungle that is New York City. I myself have been doing this for the past year, gaining crucial knowledge of the ins and outs of surviving comfortably on the edge of poverty in Brooklyn, while still having a grand old time. I've been collecting tips and tricks to saving money while still having fun in the city for the past year, while holding a steady part-time job and creating music, with about $200 solid income a week. Actually, when I redid this for the one that I actually got a response, it was down to like $150. I've intrigued other artists sufficiently enough to share their ideas with me for the project. I have many useful ideas that people will respond to due to the current economic situation our country faces. One example is to shop at thrift stops instead of going to retail outlets, which is also has a positive mental aspect, or positive environmental aspect as well. Another idea is how to find out where bars serve free drinks on any given night of the week. I'll also include ways to save money while helping the environment, how to apply for food stamps, and how and where to busk or sell your own art. The first few chapters are motivational, the next few are practical, and then there is a reference section for free events, helpful address listings, and a condensed tip section at the end. Essentially, it will include anything that will help someone become a better artist while giving them the freedom to survive and thrive on only a part-time job, while honing their craft. The narrative will be told with a tone of sincerity and humor, with the utmost respect to the starving artist. The target market will be the parents of college graduates with liberal arts degrees. Think Oprah watching mothers, whereas the target audience would be the graduates themselves looking to make it in New York City. The idea could eventually be applied as a starving artist's guide to any city, followed by guides for Los Angeles, Chicago, Seattle, London, etc. It could be updated yearly and become a brand name guide catering to the niche of artists. Other books in the field include Cheap Bastard's Guide to New York City, An Actor Prepares to Live in the City, and An Artist's Guide to the City. These guides fall short, however, because they are not specific to someone who wants to move to the city but doesn't know how to get started. The Artist's Guide to New York City is the closest to my idea, but it does not include forms of art other than literally painting, and does not discuss living on a budget. The book, as I see it, would be about 200 pages. The goal is to collect all the information that would be helpful to me when I moved to the city, so it can translate into the same for the thousands of artists who blindly relocate to New York City every year. I can provide you with a table of contents and a sample chapter if you find the project interesting. Thank you for your time. Sincerely, John Sanford. So that pretty much goes through it. First, you got to do an overview of what you have. How is your idea unique? What niche does it cater to? And who are the people that are going to be buying it? And who are the people that are going to be reading it? Second, you have to say what your tone is going to be. But getting this stuff, a book has to sell in order for it to be worth it. And most books don't sell. So you have to show them that yours is going to be the one that does sell a lot. And then you have to list the competition. And then you have to list how yours is better than competition. And then you have to list why people are going to read it and buy it. So that was a good response. And I did actually hone that a little bit more. And it was a lot. It was even more streamlined and shorter. Because you want these things to print out on one page. If someone has to take more than a minute to read it, you're talking too much. Because these literary agents have a lot of stuff on their plate. And getting to these submissions is not one of their favorite things to do. So, after about 2 months, I did get word from a literary agent. And this is what she told me. It goes, Dear John Sanford, thank you for submitting the Starving Artist Guide to New York City to us. We'd like to request the proposal. Please send your work to the address given below, marked with the attention to my name. We look forward to reading the rest of your material. Sincerely, yada yada. So, she was interested, and I only sent this proposal out to maybe like 10. So to get 1 out of 10 was impressive, because my writing professor told me 1 out of 100 is good. So I was pumped. Unfortunately, it didn't go through because she didn't think that there was enough of an audience. So that's why I came on here, to try to make an audience and do it free of charge, using my own ethics as a starving artist to get things done myself. So, who knows? I still am working on it, and obviously, you're listening to me, so. Once you have a good idea, you gotta stick with it. And this is my good idea, or one of them, and you just gotta keep on keeping on. Now, let me read the bad one that I wrote when I was a sophomore in college, and this is really bad, so. You'll know what to look for when you're, what to avoid writing when you're doing a query letter. To whom it may concern, and that's the first tip off, always address the person that you're trying to talk to. Dear so-and-so, Mr. so-and-so. To whom it may concern, thank you very much for taking the time out of your day in order to read this query. We both know that time is money, and I wouldn't be writing this if I thought it wasn't worth it for both of us. This is horrible. I recently wrote a full-length, 273-page mainstream fiction manuscript, and now am looking for literary representation. It's a tough business, but I believe that I have something unique and very marketable to bring to the table. Okay, I've just shown all my cards. The book sucks, and you shouldn't read beyond this paragraph, because if you don't hook them in the first paragraph, you got nothing. Continuing. I believe that the best way to sell a book is to be honest and to be able to stand behind what you have written. Simply put, I believe that this novel is sellable. I think it is a coming-of-age story with every element that makes a good read. This is just laughable, but, you know, I was just starting out, and everyone makes mistakes the first time, so I can't be too hard on myself. And the fact that I was doing it in the first place was impressive, so I will give myself credit for that. The thing that makes this such a universal novel is because it is based on life itself. There is love, hate, sadness, happiness, drama, comedy, philosophy, and everything in between. I believe this book has what it takes to sell nationwide. This is just silly, but I love it, you know? I'm glad I did it when I did it. Entitled, Who is Jonas Crow? The story itself encompasses a young man's trip across America. See, I should have started with this. You got to get them in the first paragraph. First sentence has to wow them. Make them spill their coffee. Say something totally ridiculous. Continuing. So I do give them a little bit of a description here. And I continue, yada, yada, yada. The work speaks for itself. After reading the first chapter, I believe that you will want to read the rest. Please take some time and invest it in reading the first chapter of this manuscript. As for myself, Jonas Crow is a cumulative of my outlook on life, and he takes my thoughts and makes them into a cohesive novel. Though it is most likely appealing to a teenage market, I believe that this work will also appeal to an older, much more mature market as well. I believe this because parents are always trying to figure out what their kids are thinking, and this produces an accurate glimpse into the teen mind. Plus, the solid plot could very well translate to motion picture. See, never say that either. Never bring up motion picture, because then you're not focusing on writing a novel, you're focusing on writing a script, a screenplay. If you are looking for a solid investment, I only ask you give this a chance. Never ask for a chance. Just say, this is what I have, read it. You don't need their chance. Just give it a chance, please. I am currently enrolled at Siena College in upstate New York, and this is my first full-length novel. I know that it's tough to get a new author published these days, but everyone has to start somewhere. And as I said before, I'm only asking for a chance. I believe that the work speaks for itself. Thank you for your time, John Thomas Sanford. All right, so that's pretty goofy, but you know what? Everyone starts somewhere, and I was 18 or 19 at the time, and it feels like a world ago, an infinite amount of time in between. So let's get to another song. Now, this band is going to be the next big thing. I'm really pumped for this band. I found them on dumbingofamerica.com. They have a free EP out on their website, asteroidsbrokemystereo.co.uk. This is their track, Autumn Leaves, and I really think that they are the next big thing here. So check it out. Autumn Leaves, Asteroids Broke My Stereo is the band. Unos, dos, tres. Check it. Thank you. it's your turn. Want to
do it?
Oh, sorry. I'm ready right now. I gotta leave. Alright, that is Autumn Leaves by Asteroids Broke My Stereo, brand new band out of the UK, and here in the studio is Mr. Sean Keneally. Thank you for coming back.
Of course, it's an honor.
You were the first podcast interviewee, and we're glad to have you back on the 10th podcast. Little different of a subject.
Lucky number 10, yes.
Yeah, I know. It feels like I should be at a plateau, or I don't know. Should I be exploding right now on the web? I'm not really doing either. It doesn't really matter, though. I'm just having fun, you know?
Yeah.
You're here for... So last time when we were talking, you mentioned that you have you're working on a novel. And I finally have gotten the chance to read most of it, or not most of it, most of what you've given me, which is about 150 pages.
Yes.
And
a lot of words.
A lot of words. You know what? But I was just going over my manuscript query, because I just wanted to get through how to kind of send your stuff out,
yeah.
Like what you need.
Of course.
And it's horrible. I don't even want to read it to you, but yeah. It's...
Your manuscript for your book? Your
first
book?
For the first book.
Did you send that out places?
I sent it to a couple different lit agents. Let me just give you a little taste of it.
Yeah.
A little taste of it. To whom it may concern, thank you for taking the time out of your day in order to read this query. We both know that time is money, and I wouldn't be writing this if I thought that it wasn't worth
no,
it for
keep
both
on.
Of us. No. Time is money. And I wouldn't be writing
you're
you
really
if I didn't
You're really shooting the one-liners with that, aren't you?
It was, you know, it was such a learning experience.
I'm sure there's more to it than that, but...
No, it's... I read the whole thing. You'll be able to hear it on Sunday.
I'll tune in.
You're just gonna...
Hey, well, you know what, man? It's, what's the point of... there's more... There are many points to writing something, but you might as well try to share it. And you were just trying to share it with the world of
It's true.
Publishing.
I was kind of a...
Yeah, you were just getting it out there.
I was young. I was a young gun. Mm. And you know what? The difference is, though, my book, I can't even read it anymore. Your book, it's awesome.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
So,
it's on its way.
Let's get into what your process is. How you started with the idea. Is it something that you just like...
Sure, definitely. As far as the book that I'm working on goes... I went to school for writing, but it was more for playwriting and screenwriting, so I've never had any, aspirations to be a novelist in any way, shape, or form, but I always enjoyed short stories, and I think the project that I'm working on now just did start as a short story, and from that I was kind of like, well, I like this character, blah, 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 and let's turn it into another short story, and then I kind of connected the first three short stories and was happy with what I was doing, so... I don't know if I ever had the idea to sit down and say, hey, let's write a book, but it kind of just turned into it. kind of got the ball rolling, I guess. So,
yeah, I mean, once you start building that world up, it's really, I mean, I remember doing it myself. Mm-hmm. I remember, like, thinking, like, wow.
Yeah.
These are, like, real people in my subconscious.
I know. I mean, like, and like, I mean, you can open up so many doors and do so many things with a short story, but, like, I don't know, like, when you start, like, reaching out and, like, wanting, there's only so much you can describe within 10 pages, and then when you start having the idea of, like, 250 pages, it's, like, I mean, you can really make a person come alive, and I completely agree. It kind of, like, they do become real in your head, and it's, you get excited about doing things, writing it, and you get, like, afraid to, like, kill someone off, for instance. It's kind of, it's a mm-hmm. weird feeling.
Yeah, but, I think I cried when I finished my book.
Yeah. It's,
and you probably will,
it's too. It's emotionally draining, but it's,
yeah, because you become mm-hmm. The Godhead.
Yeah.
The creator of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's probably a book in that.
Well,
I guess that's basically Charlie Kaufman. What's the difference between writing a screenplay and writing a novel?
Find a
difference?
Like anything else, I'll speak for myself. It seemed with, for as far as screenwriting goes, it's much easier to plan out. At least it was for me. It was kind of a, like, there's much more of a craft to it,
mm-hmm.
whereas, like, you can learn, like, various techniques of, like, kind of a, I don't know, like, need versus want, and, like, kind of, like, three-act structures, and kind of, like the idea of, like, in, like, a protagonist, antagonist. Like, there's, like, there's kind of, like, little, there's tons of books you can just find about, like, how to write a screenplay, and I guarantee you there's probably equally amount as to how to write a novel, but maybe there's not.
I haven't
looked into it, and it's, I guess for myself, like, novel writing just seems so much more of, like, I don't want to call it an internal thing, but something that, like, it's a bigger world than screenwriting for myself.
I feel like it's more organic.
It's more, yeah, exactly.
Because I wrote a screenplay myself, and it was very, like, I would take it 10 pages at a time.
Yeah.
With the goal of getting to 100 pages.
Yeah.
And then, like, so it just became, like, a lattice of, like, first scene has to kind of connect with last scene. Second scene, it just, like, builds itself up, and then you have, like, the denouement.
Exactly.
And then, like, a conclusion.
You're trying to find, like, there is, like, a structure to it, whereas with novel writing, I feel like there's more doors that are open.
It's organic. Yeah. Anything can happen.
Yeah, of course. And, I mean, same with screenwriting. It's kind of like, if you write a full length, I mean, you're shooting for 90 pages to 120 pages. That's just, like, what mm-hmm. you want to do. I mean, you can write yourself a Lord of the Rings epic, but it's very doubtful anyone's going to want to produce it. And if you write a script that's 60 pages, that's not a full length. So there's just, like, there's more guidelines, or there's more of, like, a standard, I feel, with it, as opposed to novel writing.
Very true. Like, McKee.
Yeah, that
story.
That dudo.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you wanted to get into screenplay, I mean, how many screenplays have you written?
Like five full-length ones.
Damn. I don't think I've read them all. I read the dumps.
Yeah.
That, I think, was awesome.
Yeah, well, thanks, man. Thanks, dude.
You're welcome. Tell me about your current project with the International Brain Transplant Committee, which you were working on today.
Sure, I sure was.
You're bringing something up.
Yeah, well, myself and two friends, we put up plays. It's a lot of fun, and we're just trying to get the ball rolling for the summertime, and we're going to put up a reading in mid-May, and I met up with my friend who is a playwright as well as I am, and we're going to produce one of his plays, do a reading of it, and we kind of just, like, threw around ideas of where we wanted to put it, who we wanted to cast in it, and, yeah, basically just trying to, like, put it from paper and get it out there so people can see it, you know?
What's the difference between writing with a group like that, kind of, sometimes, versus kind of going at your own? I've never written as a group. I've gotten criticism, but I've never really, like, you know, it's mine.
Yeah, no, of course.
That's,
I mean, as far as, like,
opinion.
I mean, I've done, like, a little bit of, like, writing in groups, and I mean, I think it's a great thing. I think you kind of have to obviously find people you collaborate well with, because, I don't know, well, no one wants to, like, put time and effort into a project and have someone else, like, change lines, because that would suck. But as far as what we do, it's more of, like, one of us usually writes something and the other two people support them and kind of, like, help them put it up.
Okay.
Which is, I think, is a great thing, because whenever you're writing or doing any type of art, you need, like, a support group, because it's always, like, every other day you're like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? At least for myself, I am. And to have someone kind of pat you on the back and be like, hey, man, let's do this, it's nice, and it kind of keeps you going. So, if anything, I feel like that's what we do as far as our theater group goes, is kind of just help each other out and get things on stage.
Are you going to be in it as an actor?
Probably not. I mean, I do enjoy acting, but there are so many people in the city that enjoy acting, and I like working with them, so
cool.
I'd rather let them do it. Process?
Now, going into One Acts,
yeah.
I want you to throw out the web link to get to the one that you have online.
Oh, sure.
Artificial.
Yeah, it's a online... what the fuck? 1 second. It's, originalworksonline.com. Originalworksonline.com.
There's no dashes or anything in there?
No, it's just one word.
One big long word.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Thanks, yeah.
It's a good one.
Thanks.
It's stupid. And you can buy it for, like, what?
Like $4.95.
$4.95. Check out, support an artist.
Yeah, go check out a play.
One act. If you're bored, if you're bored on a...
it's a good table book.
On a Friday night.
Yeah.
Got a nice glass of wine. Read Artificial by Sean Keneally. Why not?
Yeah, no, man. Yeah.
So I got a couple other questions, but...
lay them on me.
They're kind of like... Because I don't know them myself.
Okay.
And maybe we can just... It's more of a discussion.
Yeah, let's get the... let's get the forum open.
What makes a great idea?
Oh, man, jeez.
Well, I mean, like... You were describing this play that you're putting up. Mm. And I was like, that's a great idea. Because it was so... I mean, does it have to be wild? Does it have to be... What does it take?
You know, I mean, I don't know what makes a great idea, but I think I do know certain ways to test if an idea is great, which maybe will help you find out what a great idea is.
And
I think one thing that I always thought was, I remember once I had a teacher say, like, you know, a movie is a long story, but like, have you ever talked to someone for an hour and a half and just had you talking and have them be interested for that long? I really doubt you have. I mean, maybe you mm-hmm, have, but like, mm-hmm. like, sit down and talk to them for 90 minutes and have them be interested in what you're saying. That's basically what a movie is. If you can do that, then you have, like, a great movie idea. And if you want to try that, talk to someone for half an hour, then go to the bathroom. If you come back and they don't ask what the end is, it wasn't a good idea, you know, if they're not curious.
I like that. Are you talking about a stranger?
No, I mean, anyone. I guess you could do a stranger, but I'd probably feel a little more comfortable doing it with a friend, but you know what I mean? It's like, it's just storytelling or what it is. Like, everyone says, like, oh, I'm a great storyteller. But, like, you know, if you want, like, a really big idea, like a book or a screenplay or a play for that instance, like, really talk about it and see if the person's interested in it. I'm not saying, like, give the whole thing out in details, but bounce it off someone. And if that, like, sparks something in them, maybe something there, you know?
Now, I'm gonna counter that.
Okay, please do.
With also being able to boil something down into a sentence.
Yeah, completely.
Because, I mean, yeah, you have to have that sentence that, like...
hooks them.
Yeah, the wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Yeah,
like,
completely.
That's the first sentence you have to say in your query letter.
Mm-hmm.
I just wrote a book.
Yeah.
This is what it is. This is how it rolls.
Yeah.
And if you can't get them in one sentence...
Yeah, it's true.
Like, you know there was a boardroom.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, here it is. It's called Aliens vs. Predator.
Ooh! Yeah.
And they're like,
bitches.
They're like, I'll give you $60 million for it.
Solve world hunger or make Alien vs. Predator.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's definitely true. I mean, you got to be able to sell it, but at the same time, you got to have a product to sell. And I think I was more talking about, like, building the actual block that before you try to, like, ship it off, you know?
Definitely. No, I mean, definitely. I mean, how many hours goes into writing a novel?
Too many, man.
A lot.
Too many. Yeah, but yeah, no, I mean, not too many, but you know what I mean, a
here's
lot.
Here's the thing, I mean, I remember writing it, and I would just be like, I would do 10 pages at a time, like in a night.
Yeah.
And so my friends were going out on Friday nights, and I was writing.
Yeah.
They're like, do you want to go out and drink some beers? And yeah. I'm like, yeah, dude, but
got the book.
I gotta write.
Yeah, I mean, as far as like, I mean, any type of art, let's just get rid of just writing, it's like, you gotta find the time to do it, you know?
That's
like,
true.
I mean, if you want to be a musician, you gotta write, or you gotta play, you know? If you want to write, you gotta write. And, like, the hardest, I think, for me, like, the hardest thing is, like, just finding that time to sit down at a computer, you know? I mean, like, I work, I got a girl, I got my friends, blah, blah, blah. It's just tough to find that time, but I feel like the second you don't make it like a hobby, but you make it like something you want to do, like you kind of put it ahead of other things, then like you take it a little more seriously and you find the time to do it. So,
like Lewis Black says, you ain't a writer if you're if you're not writing.
Yeah, and like it's, I mean, you know, it sounds like the amount of time people dick around on Facebook or like
if
whatever,
they were doing that,
but like, yeah, but I mean, like, actually constructive. It's really hard to like find the time to sit down for an hour a day and like write. It's like, I mean, like you can do it, but like it's amazing like the excuses you make up for yourself. Mm-hmm. And until you realize you're making those excuses, you're gonna like keep dicking around, and you kind of have to be like, "What do I want to do this or not?" And but I mean, different people work different ways. I mean, like you said, you kind of set yourself a 10-page goal each day.
It's every
like,
week.
Yeah, every week. Yeah, I mean, that's
every week I wanted to get through 10 pages.
Some people are goal-oriented. Some people just like do stream of consciousness and stuff, and like mm-hmm. you got to find what works for you and just do it, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, that could have been my thesis of just wanting to become a writer.
Yeah.
Like that, I doubt I'm gonna ever look at that. I'd have to rewrite the whole book.
Yeah.
I like the ideas.
Yeah.
But and sometimes that's just the way the cookie crumbles. But let's go into one of your songs.
Ooh, wow.
Speaking of writers, you're also a music writer.
Doing my best.
So we're gonna play a little Three Dumb Boys.
Oh man, look at that.
Off our debut album for the Big Nothing. Check it. Three Dumb Boys. Shit. There we go.
I guess you've played these games. You're familiar with those friends who give those looks that never change. To ask a question, have you seen me acting like a foolish boy who's still in love? Hey, gray moon, chasing the skyline, I've been chasing after you, who fades away in the blue waters. Three dumb boys sitting in a confused to know the thoughts that play and haunt what they call home. Hey, dumb kid, what's your name? I got two friends who would love to meet you. Hey, dumb kid, that's my name. I got a big screen with some movies to watch. Hey, dumb man, remember your past. It's weird how you sound exactly the same. Three kids eating food on top, spitting at you when you see in the mirror. Mister, I'm afraid of nothing. I'm sorry, but there's nothing here for you to see or find. Hear those screams from the other room. It's actually the rain bouncing and fleeing this dark rooftop. Hey there, small town pretty girl. Be careful you don't meet a man who goes by the name of welcome, three dumb boys. Keep on dreaming. Keep on closing your eyes to find a different place than home. Hey, dumb kid, what's your name? I got two friends who would love to meet you. Hey, dumb kid, that's my name. I got a big screen with some movies to watch. Hey, dumb man, remember your past. It's weird how you sound exactly the same. Three kids eating food on top, spitting at you when you see in the mirror.
All right. That was Three Dumb Boys on the Big Nothing album.
Sure was.
Self-titled. Well, yeah, self-titled. That was really fun, Megan.
Yeah.
Back in the day. I had to be like, what, 22 then? It was 2 years ago?
Yeah, 21, 22.
21, 22. It was really fun. It was good times. And that's one of the few, like, well, I mean, I can still stand by that album. I don't listen to it, but I still can stand by it.
You hear that, world? Go for it.
Yeah, go buy our album on iTunes. It's called The Big Nothing. We stand by our album.
Guaranteed.
It's guaranteed to exist. Rock. Anyways, dude, so we're going to wrap this up.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, homie.
Hope no problem,
back, man. For number 20.
Hey.
Every 10.
We'll take you every 10. Well, every... What are you going to want to do next time? Play, please?
Nude modeling.
Nude modeling?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could talk about nude modeling. Why not? We're both kind of... We're trying to be Renaissance men, so we have the music, writing. I'm doing this.
Yeah.
You're doing plays.
Yeah, man. Keep on keeping at it, guys.
That's what you got to do. You just got to...
All you crazy listeners.
You got to live life, love life, and try to make rhyming sentences. I don't know. I'm going to introduce you to one of the songs that Brandon... CK.
Okay.
Brandon CK introduced me to over the week. Very cool, very interesting. It's called Take Time by the Books. Mm. And I was like...
Are those English rappers? Were they?
No, that's the streets.
Oh.
No, these guys...
I'm cool.
These guys are actually... He says that the violinist is gives cello lessons in Chatham.
Really?
So they're kind of a semi-local band, but they're kind of breaking out because they're so crazy.
Well, lay them on me.
The Books. This is called Take Time. And remember, success doesn't happen overnight. So this is good advice. Sometimes you just got to take some time. Figure it out. All right. This is Johnny Sanford with Sean Keneally in the co-pilot seat, rocking and rolling. And just remember to take some time. I'm going to take some time actually getting this up. Go, play. Make music. Books. Books? Hello.
That was one of those long intro songs. Those are stupid.
No, it's not. It should be playing.
Oh,
there we go. All right, this is Starving Artist Guide. Out.
Tutto è santo, non c'è niente di naturale nella natura, ragazzo mio, tienilo bene in mente.
Thank you. something is happening which is not happening at all.
Imagine playing that live.
That'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, he says they're crazy.
Are we off?
Yeah, we're done.
Cool.
Hey, check you guys on the next podcast, hopefully next week. Peace.